for the rest of our lives. We ask you to do this, for it's in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen and amen. Our sermon for this morning is Loving Yourself. Loving yourself. You may be seated. Now, if you've been in church any amount of time, you've heard this scripture quoted and preached often. And yes, I've preached it often, and I've done that because it reveals an important and significant truth that all of us who are part of God's kingdom and God's family need to know. It gives to us, my sisters and brothers, God's expectations for our lives. Every law that God gives to us has to do with relationship. As a matter of fact, you can try to keep every law, but if you don't have the kind of relationship with each other and with God, it profits you nothing. All the laws that God has given tells us about how, the how of relationships in two areas: our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. When Jesus was asked this question by one of the Pharisees, what is the greatest commandment of God? Jesus, without hesitation, responded with this insightful truth about what God's ultimate desire for humanity is. He says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself." Again, I have preached this verse often because I recognize its extreme importance. But in a recent reading, I've noticed something in this text that I have thoroughly overlooked. In it, it says, "Love your neighbor as you love yourself." Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Could it be that I or we have overlooked the importance of healthy self-love that God wants us to have? And is it even possible to righteously love others without first loving yourself? Is loving yourself a prerequisite for accomplishing God's will in the world? It seems to be that way. Because he sums up the fullness of the law, Jesus does, by telling us to love God with every ounce of our being. But then he tells us to love others, and he tells us how to love others. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. I believe it's often overlooked or taken for granted that this is what we should do. But when we take a look at how we should love ourselves, then it serves notice on us that we have the capacity and the ability to love each other as God desires. And we know it's very difficult to love some folk, don't you? Most of us have understood this commandment of God, but we find it very, very difficult to do it. And maybe it's hard to do it because we don't truly love ourselves, or we love ourselves in a way that is unhealthy and not godly. Most of us have flown before, I'm sure. And while the plane is in the runway before it takes off, the flight attendant gives instructions on what passengers should do in case of an emergency. They tell you that in case the air pressure drops and the air masks are released from the ceiling, before you try to assist others with their air mask, first put on your mask. And I want to offer to you, my sisters and brothers, before you or I can effectively love others, we must first love ourselves. I think this is a part of the very important scripture that we have missed. Love your neighbors as you love yourself. Now, we have to be very careful of that. I think that we have avoided this particular idea of what Christ is coming, putting before us, is because there has always been a negative understanding of self-love. We have overlooked the importance of self-love because it often represents arrogance and pride or narcissism or egotism. And these are the forms of self-love that do damage to relationships, communities, and societies. This is the kind of self-love that creates despots and tyrants, bullies and intimidators. This evil form of love is not self-love as I understand it. This form of self-love is not self-love at all, but selfish love. I see self-love in the light of our text as a righteous and healthy love that leads to a self-discovery of God's purpose and plan for our lives. Or to say it another way, self-love is knowing that we are unconditionally loved by God. And out of the assurance of God's love flows the ability to love ourselves that gives us the capacity to love others. This kind of self-love that Jesus is advocating in the text is an acceptance of yourself because we have been accepted by God. It is a giving of that love which we have received of God. It is loving others as God has loved us. It is the kind of love that changes community, that uplifts humanity, that keeps together families, that strengthens the bonds of those who have been neglected or negated to the aisles of nothingness. This kind of love that Jesus recommends that we have, this self-love, is a healing love. It's a forgiving love. It's a keeping love. Now, I'm no psychologist. And I don't claim to know a lot about human nature, but I do know what is clearly evident in the scripture, and that is that it is important and okay to love yourself. Somebody tell yourself that. It's important and okay to love yourself. Regardless of what your experience has told you about yourself, God gives us permission to love ourselves because we are eternally loved by God. So a good biblical definition of self-love is this. Self-love, according to the Bible, is the willingness to accept yourself as God's creation. And because you are a part of God's creation, the apex of God's creation, you are lovable, you are valuable, and you are forgivable. Because of your willingness to accept that you are a part of God's created order, that should inform you that you are lovable, you are valuable, and you are forgivable. A healthy love of self recognizes and praises God for who they are. It's in the Bible, and it should be in our hearts. We find it in Psalm 196, verse 14, which says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know this full well. This brother got it. By recognizing his personality and recognizing the beauty and the greatness in which he was formed and shaped by God, he recognizes not only his greatness, but the greatness of God, the greatness of God, our Creator, who takes nothing and transforms that nothing into something. And he recognizes how God intertwined his spirit and created him with a genius that only God could have, and says, wow, I praise you. Because as I look at myself, I am magnificently, fearfully, and wonderfully made. He says, I praise you. Because when I look at myself, and I look at my brothers and my sisters, my family, my children, I see the magnificent work of your creation. What he's saying, not only do I celebrate God for the sun, the moon, and the stars, but I celebrate God for what he has done in our lives. He has a healthy understanding. And because of who he recognized, what God has done and who God has made him, he says, I praise you for who I am. He has a self-love and an acceptance of himself that is healthy and righteous and good for quality life. It's what Jesse Jackson chanted to us during the black movement when he tried to inspire black young folk. He would often say, I am somebody. I am God's child. And this is all the author is saying here. I am somebody, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. A healthy self-love embraces themselves and recognizes the fact that God made them. The kids told us this morning. And that they are uniquely designed by God. A healthy love recognizes that God made them, God defines them, and God understands them. And when we understand ourselves through the loving eyes of God, then we can't help but love ourselves. That's why the psalmist says, I praise you. Why did he say that? He said, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The word fearfully in the text means awe-inspiring. It means beauty beyond measure. In each and every one of us is something that is awe-inspiring, that we can find nowhere else on the face of this earth. Within each and every one of us lies a beauty that cannot be described with words. Within each and every one of us is a portrait of whom God painstakingly took his time to etch out every drawing and every line and every curve and every color of our lives is divine, designed by God. Fearful one, it's awe-inspiring. That's why when we curse one another, we're cursing what God has done. That's why when we neglect and deny and harm each other, we are messing with God. That's why when we bully and exploit and damn one another, isolate each other, we are telling God that God has made something that's not worthy of our praise. We need to affirm one another. We need to love one another. Awe-inspiring and beauty beyond measure. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And there may be someone here this morning who's watching me or hearing me that feel as if there is nothing beautiful about you. The devil is a liar. You are beautiful because you were created in the image of God.
you have been fearfully made. That's how God sees you. And that's how we ought to see each other, as someone special, someone that has the fingerprint of God indelibly etched on their lives. But fearful in the text also means this. The word is written to conjure up the image of a skilled craftsman who will not be satisfied with anything less than perfection in what he does, so that the end product of his creation might be something that he's proud of, that he can praise, but not only that he can praise, that others who see his handiwork can also praise. It's a Mona Lisa. It's a work of Michelangelo. It's a portrait or a building built with great skill. We are fearfully made. God took his time to make each and every one of us, so that he could praise us and look upon us and see his great handiwork. Therefore, we ought to see the beauty and the genius of God in each other. This is one reason why we should celebrate each other, because we are fearfully made. But not only are we fearfully made, we are wonderfully made. This means that God made each and every one of us different from everybody else. We are all distinct. We are all unique. Out of all that God has created within the human family, ain't none of us alike. And only God can create an entire world without repeating himself. There is something in you and something in you and something in you and something in you that is uniquely made, that you possess, that delights the heart of God, that nobody else can do. You are special. You are the unique expression of God's greatness, God's genius, God's artistic articulation. You are created by God as an individual portrait and an expression of the greatness of God. You are wonderfully made. But this, what he says next, makes all the difference in the world. He says, I know this full well. It doesn't matter how great you are, because you are, if you don't know it. God has done something wonderful in your soul and in your life. And even though you may not be recognized by others, I want you to know that God recognizes you as a work of his genius and his beauty. You are one of a kind. And regardless of what others are saying, you are loved by God. But you need to know that fully well. You need to embrace yourself. You need to accept yourself. I know we try to see ourselves and live up to the standards of our peer, but none of us are like everybody else. And that's the danger of living in this world, where we try to be like everybody else. And in trying to be like everyone else, we lose ourselves. We lose our unique creativity. We lose our genius. We lose our purpose in life, because we're trying to be like everybody else. And God cannot use us as long as we try to be like someone else. So if you are an artist, you can learn from others, but find your own place as an artist. If you're a teacher, find, learn from school, but try to find your own unique characteristic that nobody else brings to the table. You are uniquely and wonderfully made. Quit trying to be like everybody else and embrace yourself and love who God has made you to be. When you know that you are loved by God, then life gets real. That's where real life begins, when we know we are loved by God. Mental health begins with righteous love of self that comes from a recognition and the appreciation of how God created you. God created you because he placed eternity in you, and you need to know this fully well. People who don't love themselves are persons who have difficulties in their relationships because they don't have the right relationship with themselves. Something other than God has defined you, and that happens in an imperfect world and a sinful world. There is pain in this world. There is neglect in this world. There is betrayal in this world. There is abuse inflicted on us that damages us and damages our self-interest and our image of ourselves, whereby it's hard to see God and discover our personal beauty beyond our experiences. Some of us have been deeply hurt, deeply wounded. And because of our experiences, we see ourselves as something or someone other than God created us to be. But Jesus reminds us today that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. I made you and I love you. And if I can love you, I need you to love yourself. Jesus' admonition to love your neighbor as you love yourself assumes that the way we love our neighbors is based upon the way we love ourselves. In other words, the way we love ourselves informs us of how we should love our neighbors. And how should we love ourselves? We should love ourselves because God loved us. We should love ourselves because we are lovable. Understand that we are not perfect in any aspect of our lives. We're not spiritually perfect. We're not physically perfect. We're not intellectually perfect. None of us are perfect. All of us are flawed. We are persons born and shaped in iniquity. We've got afflictions and we have imperfections all around us. We try to hide them with fig leaves and try to fool people into thinking that we're more than we are. But in the midnight hours in our own rooms, we're scared that somebody might find out who we really are. But God knows you just as you are. As a matter of fact, Big Mama said he knows you better than you know yourself. But embrace this fact. He knows you're flawed. He knows you're weak. He knows you're tore up from the floor up, but he still loves you because we are lovable. Remember the song that we used to sing back in the day? God has smiled on me. He has set me free. God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. Remember that? That was a reminder to us that in a dark and dire and dimly lit world, God smiles on us. And it's that smile, I don't know what it does for you, but it's that smile that I receive each morning that keeps me going on into the future. Ain't God all right? Now, it would be helpful right here, and I'm trying to rush through this thing because I don't want to hold you too long, but please bear with me just for just a moment. It would be helpful right here for me to say that persons living the single lifestyle must learn how to love themselves before they can expect for somebody else to love them. Do not enter a relationship expecting for someone to love you when you can't love yourself. That's a prescription for failure. If you're not happy with yourself, it's next to impossible for someone to bring fulfillment into your life. No one else can do for you what only God was meant to do for you. You ought to find your purpose, discover your true love, not in anyone on the face of this earth, but you need to try find your truest love, your authentic and genuine love through Jesus Christ and Him crucified. For God so loved the world that He died for you. For it's only in discovering the love of God that we can begin to see ourselves through the eyes of God, who we truly are, and though unworthy, yet He deems us worthy of His love. Y'all not shouting yet? Loving yourself begins with the willingness to accept the fact that you are unconditionally loved by God, and this gives you permission to love yourself. You were made by God. Does that mean anything to you? You were designed by God. God willed you into being. You are not an accident. You may have done nothing in this life that makes you feel good about yourself, but God has a love for you unlike any other love in this world. God doesn't love you because of who you are. God loves you in spite of who you are. So since God loves you, that's the most important thing, so you might as well love yourself. Loving yourself should be firmly anchored in the belief that your life is not an accident. You are here on purpose. Your life is a deliberate act of God's will. There is nothing about you that God does not love. There is something about you that is worth loving. You are lovable. People may not have expressed it, or society may not have deemed it you recognizable, but I want you to know that God knows you and He loves you just like you are. The woman at the well was a scorned woman who was rejected by her society, but Jesus let her know that He knew everything about her messed up life, yet He loved and respected her. And when she realized the genuine love of God in the face of Jesus, she was immediately transformed and ran into town and told those same folk who talked about her and castigated her and cast her down and did nothing to support her. She ran to them and said, come see a man that knew everything about me and he still loves me just like I am. It was when she realized love for the first time in her life, that she was genuinely loved, that she was able to love not only herself but her neighbor. Because you are loved by God, you are lovable. But also because you are loved by God, you are valuable. God has created you with great value. His breath is in you. His life is in you. You belong to God. The Bible gives us a wonderful example of a boy whose life was very valuable to the ministry of Jesus. He doesn't have a name. John doesn't give him a name. But when he offered his lunch to Jesus, Jesus saw the great value of his offering. But not only did God see the value of his offering, he saw the value of his attitude. The boy had the right attitude. Because he had the right attitude, people who would have gone hungry were blessed with enough food to satisfy their needs. That's why loving yourself is important, because only in loving yourself in a righteous and a healthy way can you be a source of strength, help, support, supply to the ministry of Jesus Christ. You have first got to love yourself in the way that God loves you. Praise His holy name. That's what loving yourself accomplishes. Loving yourself makes you available to accomplish the will of God. Loving yourself frees you, releases you, liberates you to serve others. I like what Mahatma Gandhi says. He says, the best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. Praise his holy name. This is why self-love is important. Self-love frees us to love and to serve others in the way we are loved by God. Because you are loved by God, you are lovable. Because you are loved by God, you are available, but are valuable. But finally, because you are loved by God, you are forgivable. You are forgivable. Folks may have a hard time forgiving you, but you are forgivable to God. Don't be so hard on yourself because of your mistakes you've made. You're flawed just like me and just like everybody up in here this morning. You are flawed because the Bible is right. Everybody has sinned and falls short of the glory of God. But you don't have to be perfect for people to love you. Folk who love you with warts and all. And you are surely don't have to be perfect to be loved by God. You can keep loving yourself after you're messed up because you are forgivable. So relax. Don't be hard on yourself. Don't stop loving yourself. Don't put yourself into exile, but keep loving yourself. Well, God, I messed up today, but I know you still love me. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Here I come. Receive me. And God will never throw you away. He will never cast you out. There is no sin beyond the love of God that God cannot reach. So rest in God's love. Rely on God's grace. Receive God's forgiveness. Love yourself enough to receive the forgiveness of God because you are forgivable. You know the only reason the prodigal son came home after he blew everything, cursed his daddy and took all he had? The only reason he was able to come home was because of his father's unconditional love. There was nothing that prodigal son could do to cause him to not be loved by his father. And Jesus gave this parable to let us know how the love of God is. That there is always room at home to come home to the Father. Because of his father's love, the sinful son was forgiven. And I can hear the Spirit saying to somebody today, I would not forgive you if I did not love you. I would not look beyond your faults and see your needs if I did not love you. I would not have comforted you. I would not have kept you. I would not have provided for you. I would not have lifted you out of your trouble. I would not have guided you. I would not restore you if I did not love you. You are forgivable. There is no sin that the love of God cannot reach. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. God will always outgrace sin. Praise his holy name. So if you're feeling unloved to the point where you don't love yourself, where you feel like not being here anymore, if you get to the point where you feel as if life is not worth living, when you get to the point where the darkness of life has lingered so long that you feel as if you can't go on, I want you to know that you are loved by God. And only when you receive and accept and embrace the love of God can you embrace yourself and be made whole. Besides, if I did not love you, Jesus says, I would not have given myself for you. I would not have died for you. I would not have offered my back to be whipped to shreds for you. I would not have willingly walked to the cross and laid down on Golgotha's hill and have them drive nails into my hands, into my feet, if I did not love you. I would have done it for you if you were the only person on the face of the earth. As a matter of fact, my love for you and the salvation that I wrought for you on the cross and the pain that I endured is waiting for you to receive that so that God's love can embrace you and enrich you and to make you who you were created to be, because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And the way you are living, you're creating fear in the hearts of others. You are creating wonderment in the hearts of those who love you. But if you really want to blow their minds, come to me, lay down your burdens, and I will give you rest. And when folks see you, they won't recognize you. They won't believe the person that God has made you to be. As a matter of fact, you would not believe it if it did not happen to you. But God is able to love you, to keep you, to provide for you, to lift you, to save you from the bonds of sin and prison and set you free. Ain't God all right? He does love us. He did love us. And he always will love us. And it is impossible for God to unlove you more than he loves you right now. The love that God has for you, my sister and brother, is not contingent upon anything that you do or don't do. God sees his handiwork in you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. He sees the beauty and the genius of his perfection as God in you. And what he wants to do is to take your life, snatch it from the prison bars of hell, and lift you up and say, look what I've done. Look what I've done. Look what I've made. Look at my glory. Look at my artistic genius. I'm God all by myself. Can't nobody do what I've done. And you, my sister, or you, my brother, you are God's trophy. You are the one that God wants to snatch from the grip of the devil. He thinks he's got you. He's already making room for you in hell because he thinks he's got you wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in sin. And he's convinced you to believe that there's no way out of your situation. But again, the devil is a liar. God, when he died, went down into the ranks of hell. And there he preached to the souls in the grave. And he said, whosoever will, follow me. And he rose early Sunday morning, releasing the captives and setting them free. And you are part of that group. You are the ones whom God has saved from the terrors of hell. So love yourself. Believe in God. Accept him as the authentic and genuine expression of love that can't be lived out in the hearts of human beings, but is expressed to you in this message today. It's God. And he's saying, I love you. I love you. I love you. Come to me. Just as you are. Don't try to fix your yourself up. I can do that. All I need you to do is come, and I will give you life. I will give you rest. I will make your life brand new. Will you do that? Let's pray.